So Holy Spirit, as we talk today about some more of the basic habits, we just invite you to teach us so that we will grow and put off the old habits and put on the habits of the new creature that Jesus Christ has made us. For we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passing away and new things are coming. And these are these new things, Lord, so that we will be disciples. We will look like you. We will walk like you. We will act like you, Lord Jesus Christ, because you, Holy Spirit, are the enabler that enables us to be just like our Master and our Savior. So teach us this day. Open the Word. Let it be meat. Let it be a nourishment to our soul that we will be transformed and changed. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Holy Spirit would say that a basic habit of a disciple is that we do the works of Christ. Last week we looked at living in God's power and how we have power to overcome things like temptation, live in holiness and whatnot. We touched on this just a little bit. But we need to just examine that a habit, a disciple, is going to look like Jesus Christ. So when we want to know what is a picture of Jesus Christ, where do we turn? Sorry? We don't Google it, do we? No, we turn to the Gospels. And in the Gospels, we see what Jesus Christ did. Those are the kinds of works. By the way, if you want a picture of God, where would you? What is a picture of God? You want to know what God's like. What's a picture of God?
His Word.
His Word? Okay. What's a picture of God?
Creation.
Creation? But what's another picture of God?
Jesus
Christ. He is the full revelation of God the Father. He said that he came to this world. So we can know what God is like because of what Jesus Christ. We know what God's intentions are because Jesus Christ said, I have fully shown you the Father. We know what God's will is in every situation when we see what Jesus Christ did. And therefore, we can go with confidence doing the things that Jesus Christ did. We must do the works of Jesus Christ. This was Jesus' mandate. He went into after he'd been tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he went then into the temple and he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he unrolled it and he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Isn't it great that the Spirit of the Lord is also on us when we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit, God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was Jesus' mandate. He rolled up the scroll and he said, today, this scripture from Isaiah has been fulfilled in your hearing. Because the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus. Remember, he was baptized in the Jordan, but then he went into the wilderness. So he was full of the Holy Spirit. When he came out of the wilderness, the Spirit was upon him in power. And then he went around. What did Jesus begin to do? He began to preach the good news that there is the kingdom of God near, and I am a way that you can get into the kingdom. Now he says that he went to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. What kind of prisoners? Did he go to the local jail and say, hey guys, you can all get out?
Anyone who didn't know Jesus.
Anyone who didn't know Jesus, yes. But what other kind of prisoner? Prisoners held by sin and Satan. Jesus said, I am come to give freedom to the prisoners. Because it says that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And that we are all held bound under the power of the evil one, which is Satan. And so Jesus came to proclaim freedom. Indeed, recovery of sight for the blind, because they were spiritually blind. But also, we see him giving natural sight to those. And that he released the oppressed. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. See, oppression is from the devil. It's not from God. He's come to release us from oppression. And also Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This mandate, this is what Jesus came by. This is what the Father sent him to do. we're going to see a little bit later that as the Father had sent Jesus, Jesus sends us with the exact same mandate. Jesus accomplished all of these things through, accomplished these things toward God. Let's just review quickly. Jesus removed the curse. We're no longer under the curse of the law. We're no longer under the curse that was put upon mankind way back when. Now, we still suffer some of the effects. They're not completely removed. But Jesus paid the judgment of God's justice that we, that is, all humans deserved. Every one of us. Because we have broken God's just laws. And Jesus was the sin offering towards God. It was his payment. He was the final sin offering. So aren't you glad today you didn't drag along your ox or your calf or your sheep? So you didn't have to make an offering, right? He was the final offering. It was kind of a messy situation. Not only because animals do things, but also there was blood because they had to slaughter these things and cut them up. And the shedding of blood was very evident. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of blood because it was all a picture that the blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed. And then, of course, Jesus, towards God, was resurrected. He conquered death. So towards God, Jesus' coming accomplished these things. Now, towards us, there was a number of things accomplished. He put his divine life in us. That's why we are alive. Not because we just decide to be alive, but we are new creatures. New creatures. I made a new word. Creator. Yeah. But we're new creation because old things, our old life, has passed away. We've got to die to it. Die to sin. Die. Don't let it be part of us. But rather, we are new creatures. He put his divine life into us. This is the essential part. We must live out of this new life. The new life. It's not a bunch about Christianity. It's not a bunch about doing a bunch of things, saying about the right things, acting just the right ways. That's nice things to do, but it's really about living out of the life that he has put into us. And that life is the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit of life. He's put it in. He's removed the death. Death was over. We had died in our spirit. There had been some death that spilled over into our emotions, indeed into our mind. So we thought the thoughts of death, and we feel the feelings of death, but our spirit was dead towards God. It doesn't mean that our spirit was dead, or else we would not, our body wouldn't be alive. But our body also feels that death. But when the divine life came, the death had to leave. It was displaced. It was removed. So now we have life in us. We have the divine life of God in us, which then affects our spirit, our soul, our mind, and our bodies. It's his life coming out. It's going out. We don't have to call for his life to come upon us. It's for his life to come out from us. And he has rescued, God, Jesus Christ has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. Now notice I use the words, it's the dominion of darkness. It's not a kingdom of darkness. Satan has a level of rule, but not on the same plane as the kingdom of God. It's a lower, rebellious revolt against God. It's only a dominion. It's not a kingdom. Satan is not equal to God. Satan has some power, yes, that is true, but he is not equal to God. The creator is always greater than the creation. Who created Lucifer? God. But we have been rescued. Notice that we could not get out on our own. We had to be rescued. Jesus came with a military strike team, and he came and struck and rescued us and led us out and transferred us into the kingdom because we were under a previous ruler, but now we are under a new, brand new ruler, the King, who is the kingdom of the Son. And also, because of that, we have been rescued. We've also been released from bondage and slavery to sin. We don't have to sin. In fact, we find it repulsive to sin because the new life in us will say, ooh, it's just like, ugh, we don't want to be part of that. And we've also been released from having to do the works of the flesh. You know, when you are caught in the dominion of darkness, you have no choice but to do the works of the flesh, which then are the works of darkness. But we've been rescued and released. What? Removed, rescued, and released. Isn't that powerful? Jesus Christ has done that for us. We have forgiveness of sins, and the righteousness of Christ has been put into us. So all of these has been the works of Christ, and now we get to reign in life. And we need to come to a new understanding of what Christ has done in us, that we are called to reign in life, not simply be victims of life, and not simply be sort of wandering around in life, but indeed to reign in life. Because we are said, the scripture says, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Well, where's Christ? He's at the right hand of God the Father. He is reigning. He is ruling. And we are called to reign and to rule in our own life, where we're supposed to reign over our mortal bodies, over our emotions and minds, but also reign over with the authority of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the situations that are around. We need to reign. Now, Jesus' mandate also was directed towards Satan. Jesus removed Satan's dominion over mankind and the world. He set us free. Satan had unchallenged dominion over us prior to this time, because Adam chose to bow his knee to Satan by obeying Satan, and so did Eve. And so as a result, it was all transferred. That dominion that was given to Adam, remember God gave the dominion to Adam. He said, have dominion over the earth, subdue it, fill it. In other words, be in charge over it. The only thing I say is don't do that. If you do that, you'll lose your dominions. Of course, that's what Adam did. So Jesus removed Satan's dominion over mankind and over the world. Jesus removed the power of death, which is the tool of the devil. The devil is what? A stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. Don't even question that. Stealer, killer, destroyer. Look for the fingerprints. That's what forensic evidence is all about. Stealer, killer, destroyer. Okay, I see the fingerprint. It's not God. And yet so much of the church is paralyzed, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But Jesus had to come, and he had to break the power of death. Only by dying could Jesus break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. So we actually see that the power of the devil was broken through Jesus Christ dying. And then, of course, the power of death was broken by Jesus Christ rising from the dead. The power of the devil is what? No longer. The power of the devil is what?
Broken.
Hear me. The power of the devil over us and over other people is broken, because Jesus, by dying, broke the power of the devil. And by rising from the dead, he broke the power of death. The power of the devil is, everybody said,
broken.
We need to grasp hold of that. Because that's how we're going to be able to do the works of Christ with confidence, when we realize that Jesus broke the power of the devil. Jesus took away the keys. He took away authority and power from the devil. In fact, Jesus said, I now hold the keys of death and Hades. That's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I hold the keys. All authority has been given to me. Where previously the devil had authority, no longer. His has been broken. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Notice in 1 John 3, verse 8. For this purpose, now it's not the only purpose, because we also looked at the purpose towards God, purpose towards us, but towards Satan, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what?
Destroy
the works of the devil. Now, does it say tinker with, modify, tweak? What does it say?
Destroy.
Destroy, undo, remove, obliterate the works of the devil. That's one of the purposes the Son of God was manifested in the world, because he came to rescue and release us from the works of the devil. because the devil was running all over us. And you know what? He's running all over approximately 5 to 6 billion people in the earth today who do not understand there's freedom in Jesus Christ. And the 1 billion approximately Christians in the earth today need to rise up and do the works of Jesus Christ so the other 5 to 6 billion people can no longer can be free from the works of the devil. That's the call upon us. That's what disciples do. If Jesus did it, and we're his disciples, then what should happen? We should do it. What are some of the works of the devil? Anybody got some ideas?
Sickness,
yeah? Well, the devil, and I say his crew, you know what his crew is? Demons, all those under him, they're the kinds of things that they do in people's lives, such as disease, sickness, a malfunctioning body, broken relationships, hunger, poverty, and dot, dot, dot. There's lots of things. Now, we need to be clear that these are the works of the devil. Do you see any stealing in this list? Do you see any killing in this list? Do you see any destroying in this list? Then those are the fingerprints of the devil. John 10, 10. We need to do the works of Christ. What were the works of Christ? And again, we see them in the New Testament. So let's just look at a few of them. We see Jesus healing the sick. Now, we also see him casting out demons. They were a very real thing. The demons are still around. They have not yet been confined to these places that they are about to be. So they're still wreaking havoc in people's lives. Sometimes they're involved in actually causing sickness. We see Jesus casting out demons and at the same time then healing sick. So sometimes they're connected. Sometimes they are operating independent. Jesus raised the dead. He actually raised the dead body, called the spirit back into the body, and the soul and the mind there too. He cleansed lepers, which was some kind of incurable disease at that time. Now they know that medicine has found ways to deal with it. But there are lots of incurable diseases. Do you know that there are lots of people today who have virtually no access to medical help? No access to medical intervention. No access to antibiotics or other kinds of things. But we, as believers, have the greatest access to the works of Jesus Christ where he was cleansing the incurable. Jesus fed the hungry. Remember, he fed the 5,000 and later the 7,000? 4,000. He fed multitudes from little tiny pieces of a few sardines and a loaf of bread smaller than that. And there was a multiplication. Because hunger and poverty are what? Some of the work of the devil. God's design was that there should always be an abundance. The very earth itself is looking for us to be raised up and be the people of God. All of these are the works of Christ and indeed the works of the kingdom of God. That's what's a call on us as disciples. What are the works that Christ did? Somebody read this, please. We are to do the works that Christ did. Jesus said, when we believe in him, that the works that he did, now we just looked at what the works were, right? Healing the sick, casting out demons. The works that he did, we will do also. Now does it say might? Do? Perhaps do?
Shall.
Maybe if we can get around to it, or if we're highly anointed or super gifted. What does it say? The ones who believe shall do the same works and indeed greater works than these. And then he says, because I go to my Father, and what he's talking about in John chapter 14, I'm going to the Father, and the Father and I are going to send the Holy Spirit upon you. In you and upon you. And then whenever you ask in my name, and when you're doing the works, I know that people can kind of sort of pull this out and make it, well, this is my prayer promise. But the context is that when you're doing the works, whatever you ask in his name, that the Father will do, so that the Father will be glorified and the Son will be glorified. So whenever we're doing the works of Christ and we're standing as the ambassador in the authority of Jesus Christ, whatever we ask in his name to do the works of God, those things will be accomplished. Somebody read this from Mark 16.
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all, and they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
I realized I actually did this the other day. No, a couple years ago. It was called horse's milk. No, it tasted like deadly poison. No, these signs will. Notice that it's all the affirmative. Shall, will. This is the positive thing that is going to happen. They will accompany those who believe. Do you believe? Here's the core issue. Do we believe? In the name of Jesus, we will drive out demons. We'll speak in new tongues. We'll pick up snakes. They won't harm us. We'll drink deadly poison because somebody's trying to kill us and we aren't aware of it, but we won't die. And we will not harm us. And we will place our hands on sick people and they will get well, because we are doing the works of Jesus. That's what disciples do. We do what Jesus did. What did we see Jesus doing? Again, open the Bible. That's what disciples do. That's what we do. Then the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. Now notice this is right here. These signs will accompany. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied. Here are the signs. These signs will accompany. These signs accompanied them. Because the disciples went out and they did it. They believed it was going to work. So they went out and did it. And it did work. And here's the wonderful news. It still works. If we'll go out and do it. Here's the action point. Went out, and here's the second action point. Speak. So the bottom line I'm getting at today is disciples will do, we do, the works of Christ. And Jesus had called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Okay? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it also says, and to heal every disease and sickness. So Jesus gave them authority to drive out how many demons? What kind of demons? Is there any kind excluded? No. And if he gave authority to heal every disease, what kind of disease? Is there any that's excluded? We're shaking our head no, but do we think and understand that every kind of disease and sickness we've been given the power and authority? Now there's some mental roadblocks to us that we have. Well, I don't know about cancer. Well, cancer's a nasty thing. And it seems to be spreading all over the place. But what does the Bible say? Okay? Jesus gave them power and authority to do what? Cure diseases. In fact, it says cure every disease and sickness so that nothing was excluded. And then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And somebody could say, yeah. That's the 12. Those were the apostles, right? So, you know, we're not the first 12 apostles, so we're off the hook, right? Well, here's the reality. He said to them, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Well, I don't know where I missed it. You see, somewhere after the 12 went out, he then sent out 72 others. Now, these 12 were named as apostles, yes, but the 72 others were never named as apostles. They were named as disciples. As you go, disciples, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. So we're going to preach the message. Now we're going to demonstrate the message. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so now freely give. In other words, let's do, you know, that's what, in the book, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going to the temple. Silver and gold have I none, but such as we have, we give to you. Freely they have received, so they just freely gave. Freely gave what? Freely gave away the power of God that is to cure all diseases and cast out every demon. So he said that to the 72. Now the Lord chose 72 others and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit. So it's not simply the apostles. It's all of us as disciples, because this is what disciples of Jesus do. They do the works of Christ. That's what we, this is where the church needs to reawaken, the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. Reawaken to this. Preach and then demonstrate. You see that? Preach, demonstrate. Now later, he goes on, he says to these guys, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. There's the problem. There's few workers. There may be lots of disciples that aren't working. That's where we need to be disciples who work. So let's pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field. I'll tell you what the Lord's answer will be if you pray this prayer. You go. It's not Hugo, but you go. Well, send Hugo. No, you go. You see what they're supposed to do? He said, go ahead. I'm going to come later. You go. Preach. Not just declare the kingdom of God's there and show them the kingdom of God's there. See, God's intention is for us to work his works. Now, if a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick. And as you heal the sick, say, the kingdom of God is near you. It was just all about the kingdom. Here's one of the challenges, and I don't have time to really expand on this, but we have, in the last several hundred years, preached a gospel of salvation. We have not preached the gospel of the kingdom. Did you hear what I said? We preached a gospel of salvation. And so once you get saved, what's there to do? Well, try and be holy. That would be a good thing. And second thing is wait for the sweet by and by. Yeah, rapture. You just wait around and try to be good in between. That's the gospel of salvation. But the gospel of the kingdom involves making kingdom works happen here. Doing the kinds of things that God is doing all the time in the kingdom. The works of Christ in the kingdom. You see, this is not just talking about works of righteousness. Anybody know what works of righteousness are?
Just being good, going to church, doing this, not just
Okay. Those would be things. Being good, going to church, doing all those kinds of things. Hey, those are works, basic works of a disciple. Right? So let's not discount them. Okay. However, Jesus also told us what some works of righteousness are. He said, when you give to the poor, which is a work of righteousness. So that's one of the things that we can do is give to the poor. That is a work of righteousness. We do that because we have the righteousness of God in us, and it's also the right thing to do. but it's not necessarily a work of the kingdom. Now, being friendly to the neighbor and greeting them and giving them a plate of cookies is a work of righteousness. Right? You're supposed to be hospitable to all those kinds of people. No, those are good things to do, and I encourage you to do that, especially if you make good cookies, right? But they're not the works of the kingdom. Because the works of the kingdom we see Jesus Christ doing. And we see Jesus told the people to go out and do the works of the kingdom, which was heal the sick. You know, back here it said, you know, drive out demons, all of those. Those are the works of the kingdom. So we need to do both works of righteousness and the works of the kingdom. Last night we were at a party, a birthday party, for a neighbor down the street. And we're sort of getting developing relationship. And it's primarily a group of non-Christians. I don't know that there's any Christians there. And, you know, we were doing what Jesus was, mingling and talking and things like that. And I was talking with one guy for quite a length of time who was involved in a good work. He goes to a church. We never got into the conversation of whether he's a believer or not. But it's a church. He was talking about how he involved in helping to build homes for people that need homes and try to help those that can't afford it and all those kinds of things. And I thought, well, that's great. That's a work of righteousness. We would think it's a work of the kingdom. My fear, and I wish I'd have had more time to talk with him, was I hope that you're not trusting that those good works of righteousness will get you salvation, because they won't. It's only belief in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works of righteousness, lest anyone should boast. So how have we been saved? Through the grace of God. And even our faith is not of ourselves. God had to give us faith. He had to come and rescue us and release us from the kingdom of darkness. So I'm just, do you catch the difference between works of righteousness, which includes doing good things to people, like I said, but that's different than the works of the kingdom. Are you catching this? We need to be about the works of the kingdom, like Jesus did. Like the early disciples, the 12 and then later the 72. That was 84 that we are told that sent out. Now, there may be many more that went out. They went out. Hey, remember, this was before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were healing the sick. They were driving out demons. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He says, yeah. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. His power is being depleted because, why? There was workers in the field doing the works of his kingdom, of God's kingdom, and the dominion of Satan was falling. Healing, casting out demons, raising the dead, cleansing, overcoming the works of the devil. Now, did I talk about this here? See, the enemy is unseen, but the results of the enemy's work is evident. You know, we don't see the appearance of the devil. We don't personally see it. Now, I've never had it, and I don't want to see him. Nobody wants to see him. Okay? Generally, he's unseen. However, you can see where he's been by looking for his footprints or his fingerprints. The results of his work and the results of his crew, I call demons, principalities, powers, rulers of evil in this present darkness, those are evident. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says very clearly, we are not fighting against people, all right? There's some people who always want to fight. Ever meet them? They always like to get in an argument about something. You know what? We're not fighting against them. We've got a much bigger enemy. People are never our enemy. Now, the enemy is what Satan is doing to the people. And therefore, they may be reacting out of what the enemy's doing. Hello? They may have lots of kinds of terrible stuff going on in their life. But we are not fighting against people made with flesh and blood, but we are fighting against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Do you know that there's another whole unseen world? Our natural eyes are not able to see the unseen world. However, our spiritual eyes are aware, and we can see into the spirit world from time to time. We are fighting against the evil rulers in the unseen world. We are fighting against these mighty powers of darkness who rule this world. See what they're currently doing? They're ruling this world. Jesus came to upset their rule. Say, you guys are done. And we are also fighting against wicked spirits in the evil realms. So notice, there's three against. There's four words against. First of all, there's one negative. We are not against people, but we are against three things. What does it say? First one, against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, right? Number two, we're against mighty powers of darkness. And number three, by the way, those powers of darkness are ruling this world. And number three, we're against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. That's what we are against. And I'll tell you what, they're against us. You know why they're against us? Because if they know that the power in us is greater than their power. Because Jesus Christ is the victor. And we have the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in us. Of course, we've already said it. The thief comes only steal, kill, and destroy. So that we can see the results of his work in people's lives. It's bad effects. Sickness, disease, abuse, addictions, all kinds of things. And so we face a powerful army, and part of their goal is to keep people in bondage, but also part of that evil army is to defeat Christ's church, partly by saying, you can't do anything. And it's a lie. I'm here to say we can. When we believe in Christ, these beings, they choose to become our enemies, and they try every device to turn us away from Christ and back to sin, and also try to get us so that we are not being disciples. Because disciples will be like Jesus Christ, and then we're a serious threat. Let's be a threat. Let's overcome them. So let's put on our armor, as we're told in Ephesians 6, so will we be good soldiers of Jesus. Here's the problem. Too much of the Church of Jesus Christ today is, I say, paralyzed into non-action. Because they think there is some type of mysterious work that God is trying to do through a sickness or suffering. Just letting that sink in. Most, and I've run into so many, well, God must be doing something good through this cancer. Garbage. Well, God must be trying to teach you something through this ailment. Well, I'll tell you what, God could teach you without the ailment. You see, if we say it's God trying to do something, then we better not interfere with what God's doing, right?
We
do take medicine. You know, so we're interfering anyways, but well, God has mysterious ways. Hey. And so as a result, we are paralyzed into non-action because we think there's some type of mysterious work. This is an old theology that is thousands of years old, and it's time to drop it. I won't name the person who first introduced it, but it's time to drop it. Because we see Jesus. Do you ever see Jesus saying, well, Father, here's this person. They're paralyzed. They can't walk. What's the good thing you're trying to do in their life? You don't see that. In fact, the disciples even went in John chapter 9 and said, well, God, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents? Because he was born blind. So how could a guy sin before he was born? You know, and that doesn't add up. But that's what the theory was back then. Well, he must have sinned because he's born blind. And Jesus said, you got it all wrong. neither his parents nor this man sinned, but I'm going to display the works of God in this life.
It's just sin itself working death in us.
Say it again.
It's just sin itself working death.
It's sin working in, but we find that we've been paralyzed by some bad theology, some bad teaching over the years. Part of it saying, well, God doesn't do this stuff, or God has mysterious ways, and God, and you know what? We need to say, no, this is not God. This is wrong. Let's deal with it. And if we happen to be stepping on God's toes and God is doing something, you know what? He'll gently say, hey, just a minute here. But I think most of the time we think God's doing something when really we're actually giving, if I could be so bold to say, credit to the devil. We are assured of victory, so we must engage in struggle, in the struggle until Christ returns. So let people be set free because they're caught. The plots and the strategies, nor even the strength of Satan and his angels shall prevail. Simon Peter said, Jesus said, who do people say I am? And Simon answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's right. Jesus said, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this revelation and upon the fact that I'm the Son of the living God, I will build my church. See, it's not upon Peter himself that they're building the church. Peter's dead. He's gone. But it's upon the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and upon the fact that the church is to be receiving revelation from God that Jesus is building his church. And notice, all the powers of hell will not conquer the church. So we're assured that if we will step into the battle, we will win. That's what Christ invited us to do. They cannot conquer all the powers of hell. I mean, that's a lot of power, right? But it's not greater power than God's power. That's where we need to get our mind readjusted, renewed in our mind. Yes, there may be some power. Well, yeah, so what? There's greater power available to us who believe. I always think greater power is better. Hey, do you like that show? It's not on anymore, but I think it was called Tool Time. You know, and Tim the Tool Time Man or something like that. Home Improvement, that's what it was. He'd show the Tool Time. More power. He always wanted a bigger tool, a more bigger machine. More power. Hey, guess what? We are in possession of more power because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And the victory is Jesus, and the victory is ours. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Jesus said to us as disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And so Jesus has now literally given us the keys of the kingdom. And how do we operate the kingdom, the keys? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now that is a tremendously awesome thing. Now, anybody who has keys has a level of authority. I came here this morning. This door was locked. Okay? They said at the front desk it would be open. I came and it was locked. So I went up there and I said, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's still locked. He said, okay. So he went and radioed the guy and the guy came. And the guy had a set of keys that I didn't have. So that guy has a level of what? Authority to open the door. Jesus says, I have given you levels of authority within the kingdom of heaven. I've given you keys so that you can lock and you can unlock and you can lock. Because we have been put as ambassadors. In fact, we've been put as more than just ambassadors. We've been raised to the levels of sons of God. Now, that doesn't mean we are gods. All you new ages that happen to be listening, that's not the case. You know, we are not gods, but we who have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in us, we've been raised to the level of sons of God, and such as we are, it says in the book of 1 John. So we have been given the keys, the level of authority, that Jesus holds, he also has given us the keys so we can bind and we can loose. We can lock and we can unlock. We can heal and we can also bind the work of the devil. Amen? I'm excited about this. I have given you, it says in Luke 10, Jesus said, I have given you authority. So he's given us the keys of the kingdom. He's also given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Not just some of it. All. You see, there needs to be a major mind change here. The Bible says what it means. And it says that we have been given, through Jesus Christ, all authority to overcome, not just the battle, but indeed overcome and indeed trample on. Hello? You don't play around with, you trample on. So you can overcome all the power of the enemy. And we've also got this wonderful promise, nothing will harm us. Not whether there may be some physical stuff that we have to go through, not sickness or disease, what I'm talking about, but there may be troubles and persecutions. But ultimately, the best thing that they can do to us, send us heaven early. But here's the great promise. It is appointed unto man once to die. None of us are going to go to heaven earlier other than what our Father has appointed. Amen? So therefore we can go out and do these things that God has told us to do. He has given us that authority. He's given us the keys. Are you catching this morning? Somebody catch it? Ready? Here! Catch it! We need to catch hold of this. Because the one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. Who's in us? Who's in us?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit in us is greater than, who's the one in the world?
Satan.
He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler that now works in the present darkness. He's the one that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But greater is the one who is in us. That's why we have the keys of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom. We have the name of the king. We have the power of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the part. We are sent with Jesus Christ's mission. Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me. And be busy with his business while it is daylight. Night is coming when no one can work. So Jesus was saying to his disciples, we must work the works of him who sent me. So Jesus came working the works of the Father, right? Because that's what he did. I am working the works of the Father. He's saying to his disciples, we must work the works of him and be busy with his business. Jesus said, peace be with you. It's as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Well, how did the Father send Jesus? We already know. Open the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to do what? Proclaim release to the captives, freedom from those who are oppressed. That's the way that Jesus was sent. That's the way the Father sent Jesus. So in the same way that the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is now doing what? Sending us. With the same level of authority, same power, we get to use the name of the king and all the power of the king, the blood of the king, the overcoming of the king. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, at this point they got saved. See, they were out there healing the sick and casting out demons just in the authority of Jesus Christ. But now that they have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, they were free and had been discipled enough to go ahead and do the things that Jesus was doing. Receive the Holy Spirit so that you can go and do what the same thing that the Father sent me, because we've got to be about his business. Okay, well, there's so much more we can say, but let's sum this up. Jesus came with a mandate. We've looked at it, towards God, towards us, and towards Satan. He came with a mandate. He fully did all of it. He fully completed all the works of the Father towards God, towards us, and towards Satan. The works of Jesus Christ, we've looked at them. We've seen that they were the works of the kingdom. And the disciples did the works of Jesus. They were sent out in the same way that Jesus did the same works. And we must be working the works of both Christ and the kingdom. Yes, the enemy is unseen. However, the results of his work is evident. You can see it. And wherever his work is evident, it's time to deal with it. Whole towns, when Jesus would walk into a town, you know, they would bring everybody in town that was sick. Everybody. The demonized, the paralytics, every kind of sickness. I mean, they would rush to wherever Jesus was, and it said he healed them all. Wow. The victory is ours because it is already Christ's. And because Christ is ours, and we're in Christ. See, somewhere along the line, we're going to change from thinking that Christ is ours, and we're going to get switched around to realize we are in Christ. And when we realize that we're in Christ, suddenly, the whole kinds of boldness and realization of what can be accomplished changes. And we need to go out with his mission, which is still rescue and release. Rescue and destroy the works of the devil. The kingdom of God, that's what we're going to do. And by the way, you need to enter the kingdom. And that's salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you that your kingdom is already here. It surrounds us. And we get the awesome privilege of being children of you and children of your kingdom. So we just pray that we will know that as disciples, we must be doing your works, and that we will step forward boldly and affirmatively and with conviction and step out and release people the same way you did, Jesus, and say, this is God's work. Oh, we just pray that we would be emboldened and empowered in Jesus' name. Amen.